You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power the collaboration needed for teams to accomplish what would otherwise be impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software for everything from space exploration and green energy to delivering pizzas and podcasts. Whether you're a team of 2, 200, or 2 million, Atlassian software is built to keep you connected and moving together as one.
That Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world, they just disagree on how.
We're gonna get across that wasteland, and we're gonna do it together.
Fallout. All episodes available now on Prime Video.
Hey, this is Austin Eckler, and you're listening to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Welcome in. Welcome to Wednesday, November 30th, the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Two-man show today. Mike, the Fantasy Hitman,
don't know where he is.
Can't find him.
No, we were looking for him all morning. We decided we've got to record this show.
I checked the fridge and a couple of the waste bins. Not there.
Under the doormat. A lot of times that's a place people leave stuff valuable.
Right.
And they could not find him.
I checked the bathrooms.
Did you, Brooks? Thank you.
That's usually where he is.
Yeah. Well, that's
but my understanding
it's more
is
more your domain.
Yeah, that's kind of my home base. Can't tag me while I'm there. But yeah, he should be back and found on Monday.
Yes. Yeah, so Michael be out for a couple days. Don't worry about it. We got you.
Mm-hmm.
Jason Moore is here.
And Jay Grizz holding it down.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, his Bears didn't have Justin Fields out there this past week, and that hurt.
Yeah, they said, just no problem. We could still lose.
Yeah. We have a fun show today. The current Megalo Bowl leader, by the way, Bodogs. 23-1-0. 1,936 points. So, in the mix as we head towards the fantasy football playoffs. Funny story, my sister never had an interest whatsoever in, to my knowledge, in the NFL, really, sports, fantasy football. Gets convinced to join a fantasy league at the beginning of the year by her boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
It has overtaken her.
Really?
Yes, she is now. I get texts from my little sister. She shows up at we had a family card night on Sunday. She shows up, first two words out of her mouth, with more excitement in her face than I could imagine. Josh Jacobs.
Oh my goodness, that would be so amazing.
So she's all in, and I think it's the winning, right? Like, she's winning the league.
Oh, for sure, that helps.
She's winning the league.
So she's listening.
She's listening to the
obviously
show.
Obviously. You said she's winning.
Yeah, but yesterday she learned something new about fantasy football. That there are playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
Because she said, I hope you're ready for ultimate pain. You know, you've dominated. I think she has one loss on the year. She's got Jacobs and Henry and this great team.
She just thinks it's a shoo-in to win.
And I go, get ready for the ultimate fantasy football, stress, because the playoffs are coming. She goes, wait, if I do great all year long, that doesn't mean anything?
Well, it means you get in the playoffs like Bodogs over here.
So,
But Bodogs, the shark from Jaws 3D, yeah, And also shout out to Skunk League, who is the highest scoring 24-0 team in the Megalodon Bowl is what we call it. Y'all gonna lose. So enjoy your ride. This was great. You're gonna get to the playoffs, but I'm calling my shot right now. I'm taking the field
versus those three,
especially because I'm gonna be one of
you're part of the field.
I'm part of the field, okay. So I'm coming for y'all.
Spotify Live, Jason and I will be in the party room today, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, over on Spotify. Make sure you listen in, tune in. It'll be fun. Got the Thursday night preview today. Got news to talk about, ride or die. We're going to be diving into the mailbag. Jam-packed show. So jam-packed that we added a quick question.
All right.
Quick question is, who should make the Mount Rushmore of tough players to start or sit this year? Now, Jason, I have four answers from the Foot Clan, the highest, the most popular answers,
okay,
on Instagram. But I'm curious if you agree with them or if you have some from your own list. The four that they gave were Cortland Sutton, which I super agree with.
I super agree with. He's the one that makes my personal Mount Rushmore off of this list.
Okay. And then Gabe Davis was another one. Alvin Kamara, which... Look, I just happen to not have any Alvin Kamara shares in any league. So I don't think I relate to that one, but I get it. Like, we've seen the numbers, the offense, everything. And then DJ Moore, who tantalizes into your lineup and then destroys you.
Yeah, he's always been a tough one, but it's been a lot easier to sit him this year than in years past. I would say after a couple weeks, it was pretty easy to just put him on the bench, and if he, you know, one out of every 4 weeks has a good game, you're okay with it on the bench or on the waivers even.
He had the P.J. Walker resurgence, though, that brought him back into lineup.
Well, right. Like, right now, he's experiencing the Sam Darnold resurgence that's going to bring him back into lineups incorrectly. The number one for me when I was making my Mount Rushmore, it's Taysom Hill. Taysom Hill is someone that you feel like you absolutely have to start. And there's good reason for it. He can do what no one else at the position could do.
Which is cheat.
But if you started him every single week, I'm pretty sure you have made massive mistakes because...
He's hard because he's in the position of need.
Right.
So he's at tight end where it's like you can justify bad performances and then you're stuck in that spot where, okay, now his snap counts are up. So... It's always a story.
Yeah, if he was a wide receiver, or not necessarily scoring as a wide receiver, but like if there were as many options available as there are at wide receiver, I mean, nobody would be considering putting someone like Taysom Hill in their lineup just because he can do big things. It is so infrequent that that would be my number one.
I'd chisel a couple faces up there.
Okay, let's hear them.
Kyle Pitts, let's not forget that struggle.
Oh, yeah. You know, in memorandum.
Yeah, and then Brian Robinson, who I feel like you got him, you thought you had a starting running back. You kind of do sometimes. You kind of don't. I never know when. The matchups, he seems to play well in different matchups than you expect. Another face to chisel up there?
I have two more faces that I would want chiseled. One is Deontay Johnson. Because he hasn't been good, but he's great, and so it's tough. You go, well, he's so good. He's getting open. He's getting the targets. He's doing, you know, I drafted him highly.
You would have rather played DJ Moore all year than Deontay Johnson,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I mean, you probably get a couple wins that you wouldn't have. I don't think Deontay Johnson's floor being, you know, above 5 points really makes the difference between DJ Moore's bad games, whether you win or lose, whereas DJ Moore's had a couple
week-winning
performances. Yeah. And then the other one is Devonta Smith, who I think is...
Oh, that's a great one.
So talented. He's so good. I continue starting him. I start him every week now that I traded for him a couple weeks ago, and I'm fine with that. I'm fine taking my lumps, but it's always like, you're not... It's just pretty inconsistent.
It's the only way to handle Devonta Smith, I think. I mean, it's 2 years in a row where if you don't take that approach, you will be living in misery because you got to take the bad with the good.
You know, I think that takes him kind of off. Maybe he isn't really the hardest to start because that's the same with Gabe Davis. Like Gabe Davis and Devontae Smith are players that you, it's not really a difficult decision. You start them because you want the massive performances. You're disappointed sometimes, but it's not at the level of a DJ Moore or a Taysom Hill where the majority of their performances are bad. You just need to take the lumps to get the spoonfuls of sugar.
Okay. Yeah. I agree. And you hope that they're not your, honestly, I hope they're not my wide receiver two.
No.
You
no.
want them to be a flex, wide receiver three. Let's do some ride or die.
Ride or Die, presented by Chevrolet.
Last week, yours truly was perfect. Ride, die.
That was great.
Amon-Ra St. Brown as a top 18 wide receiver finished at 3. Zeke scoring a touchdown. Jason and I and Mike were all in on that on Thanksgiving, and he did. And then we got the layup with the Juwan Johnson top 10 tight end. He was tight end 69.
That's what I was gonna.
So Mike went down on that one.
That was a funny one because we said, I believe you and I said, you can move the line wherever you want. We're going to choose against it. And Mike is contractually obligated to select.
Yeah. He can't quit them Saints tight ends, not named Taysom Hill. Week 13 ride or die predictions. Brooks has put some together for us, Jason. Alvin Kamara, what do you got for us?
All right, guys. At Tampa Bay, will he hit 10 fantasy points in half PPR?
Okay.
He hit 10.9 last week. Is that right? Or is that
2 weeks
ago?
That was 2 weeks ago. Last week against San Francisco, he had 4. 3 weeks ago against Pittsburgh, he had 6. 4 weeks ago against Baltimore, he had 7.7. So I completely understand why this line is where it's at. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are a good defense. They are not the otherworldly shutdown defense that against running backs that they were the last two seasons, but they are still a very difficult matchup. Currently on the season, ranked number 4.
I feel so disrespectful to Alvin Kamara to not ride with a measly 10-point line for him historically, and yet I won't. I'm going to – this is such an important game for Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
Coming off the loss, which was a comeback win by Cleveland, it's at home. I'm going to go die.
All right. I am going to ride. I'm going to ride not because I think Kamara has a special game, but because I believe that he is involved enough to get 10. This line is really good. This line is an easy one to pick. It's, gosh, he's got to have 10 fantasy points. Last week, he did not get 10 fantasy points. He had 7 targets for 6 receptions and finished with 4 fantasy points. That was because 2 fumbles in the game. I don't think that happens this week. I am riding
so
on a 10-point line with Alvin Kamara.
Yeah, if he gets into the end zone at the 1-yard line last week, he hits that line.
Easily, because that's an 8-point swing.
It's just crazy, though. 3 of the last 4 weeks.
Yeah.
It would be die. Amari Cooper, which is, he's a really interesting name this week. Against Houston with Voldemort at quarterback, I was staring him down in DFS for a long time, trying to decide because it seems like the right matchup, but you just don't know where Mr. Watson is going to be. What's the line you set it at, Brooksy?
Top 12, fantasy wideout.
No. Yeah. I'm going to go die on this.
Yeah, I am
Dark
going...
Wizard.
He brings a lot of variables in, and you would expect in general that the $200-plus million quarterback fully guaranteed would be better than the beef brisket Jacoby Brissett. But you don't know who he's going to target primarily. You don't know that it's going to be Amari Cooper. You don't know that he's not going to be rusty. And against the Houston Texans, we've talked about this, for the last month and a half, 2 months, you just don't need to pass much. So if it doesn't happen early in the game, Nicholas Chubb should run all over this team. I believe it could be a rainy game, so I'm going to select die as well. I do not believe that Amari Cooper will be a top 12 fantasy wide receiver. And don't forget, this is on the road. And Amari Cooper so far on the road, them's his bad game.
And it's against Houston, who shuts down statistically, not actually, quarterbacks and wide receivers. Like, they are top 6 in both categories, and it's just because you don't need it.
Yeah, once you're up two scores and
it's
the second quarter, you just run the ball a little more. Just a little more. You don't you still throw the ball, and then you're up three scores and it's the second half. And I was like, I'm just going to run it.
And I know that like Mike has been Donovan Peoples-Jones' greatest advocate.
Yes.
But like you said, the variables of a new quarterback, and I want to highlight the fact that, and it's, again, it's coming out of a DFS glance, David Bell has had five or more targets in three straight games. Rookies in the second half of the year begin to ascend, and his price in DFS is pennies. So you look at that and say, hey, does he have a new favorite target for some reason? I don't think it's impossible with the snap counts the highest of the year, the targets the highest of the year, that David Bell could emerge over the back half of the year.
I really liked David Bell as a third-round rookie dynasty pick because of Voldemort and the future. Oh, he's the new Bell Tolan.
I'm just giving it a go.
It's his name. I mean, math checks out.
All right. So we're both out on Cooper. Tyler Lockett against the Rams. Brooks wants to know, will he score a touchdown because he's done it in four straight games?
He's so good.
I don't know if you saw last week, Mr. DK Metcalf had 15 targets, 11 receptions in that game. It was a shootout with the Raiders. I feel like I can't bet on a touchdown. So
you're Mr. Touchdown. If anyone can bet on a touchdown, it's you.
Well,
you have
the
sight.
I've got to follow my instincts here. Then I think it's a no.
Well, then I'm definitely a no.
Okay, all right.
At that point, I don't question the wizard.
I don't think so. I don't think he gets in there. Four straight games.
I love this. So that means we've got a lot riding this week on Alvin Kamara. He's really our ride or die.
All right, you're right about that, Mr. Moore. It makes me want to know if we should change another one, but we can leave it. We can move on. That was Ride or Die presented by Chevy Silverado. Learn more about Chevy Silverado at Chevy.com.
News and notes from around the league. Presented by USAA Insurance.
How much progress did we make on you yesterday, Jason, with regards to making you a national soccer fan?
A lot of progress. A lot of progress. I expect to be a national soccer fan every 4 years.
That works for you, right?
Yeah, oh, that works for me, baby.
If you only had to watch three baseball games every 4 years, would you be a baseball fan?
I do watch three baseball games every 4 years, probably.
The World Series?
Yeah, like if there's a Game 7 something, baseball.
That's what this is. This is like infinite Game 7s in the World Cup.
Yes, baseball sucks. But any sport, any activity with something so weighty, where every moment matters. It doesn't matter. It could be a hammering wood competition.
I agree.
If the stakes are as high as they are in the World Cup, you just got to watch and wonder at all these human beings doing everything in their power, their life's work for this moment. It's just amazing to watch. You can't be a sports fan if you don't like those things.
I agree. The word I used to describe to my kids last night as to why it was worth watching is gravity. Mm-hmm. The gravity of the situation, it doesn't matter what it is. I'll watch anything.
My youngest came home last night. He told me that in their class, they turned on the end of the game, and that's what they spent their time doing.
I did hear people were getting pulled out of school. Kids were getting taken out to watch that game.
I mean, just put them in a school where they watch the games there.
There you go. You found it. All right. Aaron Rodgers told the Pat McAfee show that he got good news with his scans. He plans on playing this week against the Bears.
Okay.
Did you see his press conference where they said, where do you guys go from here? Or where do you go from here? And he said, home. Took it very literally. So Rodgers back out there. I think Christian Watson is your lock right now. He's just on fire.
Yeah.
Doug Peterson. Oh, go ahead.
Against the Bears, you just expect that there will be value to be had. You can't bench Christian Watson right now.
Do we have an update on Najee Harris yet? I am seeing something from Ian Rappaport saying his status is up in the air still, reevaluated with the abdominal injury.
Did not suffer a major injury, Rappaport is saying, but we don't know about this week yet, so still early.
I got to be honest with you. I'm real nervous every time I say abdominal.
Oh, I know, because you messed it up early in the season.
Mm-hmm.
And it became,
you can tell?
Can oh, 100% I could tell.
Because I'm worried about the abominable snowman.
Absolutely. The abominable injury is a real problem for you.
No, we've all got our things.
You want to know one of my things?
It's like you with other words.
Yeah, right. Yes, it's like me with other words. You now understand what it's like to live my life when abominable injuries
There's
come up.
There's always a little pause before I say it, like, can I get this right?
Mine?
Yeah.
Mine is Pickett and Pickens.
Oh,
I
yeah,
mean,
I noticed that.
My brain cannot.
You can't do it.
Every single time we're talking about the Steelers, and I want to mention one of them, I can't. My brain goes, what is this? Pick is one of them names picks. That's what I'm telling you. I black out and I can't talk about these players. I just need to start using full names. Because I say Kenny Pickett or George Pickens, that's fine. But if I just start with pick, my brain goes to mush.
You did that with McDaniel.
Uh huh.
Versus McDaniels for quite a while.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, it happens. Got a lot of these names. They're tough.
It's like the Ghostbusters streams are crossing.
Yeah. Exactly like that. Right. Doug Peterson said Wednesday that he expects Travis Etienne to play Sunday against the Lions. One week too late, brother.
for you, yes. For most other Etienne managers, that's great news. The matchup against the Lions is, you know, great for fantasy points. They've been better against running backs lately.
I did realize this year that the only thing worse than having your players injured is doing the plethora of injuries early in the game.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if I lose them midweek, that sucks.
If you lose them at the end of a game, also
sucks.
Yeah,
I mean, whatever.
Yeah, but you got a game.
Yeah, I realized I had five guys that I started that got hurt before they scored fantasy points. That's a bad feeling. Najee Harris, like we said, not a major injury. So the waiver show that we did yesterday talking about Benny Snell, Jaylen Warren's hamstring situation, continue to monitor. You know, your waivers have probably gone through by the time you're listening to this. But maybe if you took Jason's approach yesterday, which was minimal bids on a lot of players, you're not out of luck.
Speaking of the waiver wire and players that still might be available, the Athletics' Matt Barrows believes Tevin Coleman could be the one to play a big role in the 49ers' backfield when Elijah Mitchell is gone. We talked about the fact that Jordan Mason was the next guy up, but he's a special teamer. And that doesn't necessarily mean he gets the shot. It could be Ty Davis Price. We didn't really bring up Tevin Coleman because he's on the practice squad, but having this report, waivers could go and could clear, and Tevin Coleman in a lot of these leagues isn't going to be picked up. And
I had such a hard time with this one because I know the team loves Ty Davis Price, and because of the special team situation, he wasn't active. But like, if I had to make a bet now, right now, in total touches, I would go Price, Coleman, Mason.
I would you're behind McCaffrey.
Behind
obviously.
McCaffrey,
I would go Coleman first now. I really would. I know Shanahan's got a history of doing stuff like this, and, you know, call it loyalty or call it ego. I'll call it ego. Where the glory is his if he takes the, you know, the fourth string older guy, and we've seen Tevin Coleman pushed into action before. So I would go Coleman, Price, Mason. We both have Mason at the bottom though, which means he's the dude.
Unless you look at him too long, and then he. Daniel Bellinger's supposed to be back for the Giants.
Oh, really?
I actually think that sort of matters. They don't have a lot of pass catchers. He's pretty talented.
He was off to a great start. Rookie tight end looked the part. It seemed necessary to the offense. I was starting to use him in DFS, and then it was an unfortunate eye injury. I didn't realize he was back this year. I thought he was on the shelf. That's great.
And then the Jets signed Jonathan Ward to the practice squad. You know, Michael Carter's ankle injury, more depth at the position. That was today's News and Notes presented by USAA Insurance. Learn more at usaa.com/insurance.
Thursday Night Breakdown.
Get ready to watch the Patriots in primetime. They're going to have back-to-back primetime games. They play this Thursday. And then they play Monday Night Football when the Cardinals return to embarrass themselves on primetime.
That would be back-to-back-to-back, right? Didn't they play on Thanksgiving? So
yeah. A lot of Mac Jones up in there.
primetime Patriots. Look, if they do what they did on Thanksgiving going forward, then they are allowed to be in primetime because they put up a ton of points. Mac Jones was great. Ramondre's been great. So let's have some good offense here. And the Bills have done their part on their defensive injuries to ensure that the Patriots can actually move the ball.
It does seem that way, and the game is in New England. The DraftKings Sportsbook line has Buffalo minus -4. The over-under is 43.5. Not a ton.
Who'd you take in this one?
I took New England.
I went on the Bills side, but I was really hemming and hawing here.
Yeah. Yeah, we've got our little office pool going on. Pretty tight at the top.
Very, very tight.
So this is a pretty big game right now. I believe the Patriots are sitting outside the playoff picture. And the Bills are incredibly the 5 seed right now. Is that true?
Yeah, because they're second in the division.
That's right. So you would have the Chiefs in the 1 seed, the Dolphins, then the Titans, then the Ravens, then the Bills. Interesting. The Bills feel like a powerhouse, but right now their position is not such.
Yeah, their defense has real. I mean, at the beginning of the year, they had what I believed was the best offense in the NFL and the best defense in the NFL. And their defense, week by week, has lost another key piece, another component. And right now,
no Von Miller for a while.
Yeah, I mean, they have had a lot of defensive line injuries recently, and then a couple more this last week. Their secondary was already beat up. So this is kind of what you want for fantasy. You want great offense, bad defense, like what we've seen from the Dolphins and the Lions, and I think what we're going to see for at least, you know, a couple more weeks here from the Bills.
Yeah, the Bills defense has struggled. You haven't seen it proportionally affect Josh Allen in a good way, though, where Allen has had, you know, it's been a while since he's had monster performances. The elbow hopefully getting back into shape. You're going to play him. You're going to play Diggs. Gabe Davis, since the bye week, only one top 30 finish. He is risky business. It's going to depend on your options. I don't think you have to play Gabe Davis every week. It's just depending on your choices. Like Zay Jones against Detroit in a great matchup.
Such a good matchup.
I can't. I would be playing him over Gabe Davis.
Yeah, I mean, to me, this is completely a matter of your team, right? If you're loaded and you are the favorite in the matchup, I'm going to play Zay Jones because I think his floor is certainly higher. But if I'm in a shootout, if I'm playing against a great team, I'm going to have Gabe Davis in my lineup because he can do what Zay Jones will do once or twice in a career. Gabe Davis will do it 4 or 5 times this year.
Isaiah McKenzie is somebody that we said, you know, he's an option, probably not somebody you want to chase. Dawson Knox had the down week last week after a good week. There is a bit of a, sometimes it's Gabe, sometimes it's McKenzie, sometimes it's Davis, sometimes it's Singletary, beyond the digs.
Yeah, I mean, one of the interesting players in this game, he's on my league of record roster. He is currently on my bench where I imagine he will stay. But a big question I'm sure people are going to have is Devin Singletary. Devin Singletary's been very, very good. He's been on the field a ton. We saw him win people championships down the stretch last year when they moved to 70% snap utilization for him, and he was basically just the dude. If you look since their bye week, 75, 74, 72, 72, 78, those are his snap percentages. He is their main running back on a great offense, but this matchup is awful. Schedule-adjusted defense against running backs, the Patriots are number one in the league. If you just look at just the last 6 weeks, how have they been recently, they're number two. It's a real shutdown situation here. Obviously, Singletary could catch the passes, but that leads me a little bit more confidence. If the Patriots are going to be able to score on the Bills, and I think they are, and you can't run on the Patriots, then that's where I think Gabe Davis, obviously Stephon Diggs is in, but Gabe Davis and Isaiah McKenzie, I have hope that they have good matchups and a good week this week. I think I would be fine kind of sneaking both of them into my lineups. And this is the rare Thursday night football where we talk about you get an advantage when you play a player on Thursday night because you have some more information for how your matchup's going. But this is the rare Thursday night football where both teams are getting a full week. This isn't the short week, no practice. I'm banged up from injury. They're both coming off of Thanksgiving.
Yeah, the Patriots will not have played on a Sunday in over a month.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Mac Jones, best game of the year last week. Quarterback 7 threw the ball downfield. It was nice to see. Ramondre is he's a wide receiver right now, and Damian Harris is not likely to play in this game. Ramondre is a must start. The last 6 weeks, Bills are 22nd against running backs. They're the 30th in yards allowed. It's just an opportunity for Ramondre to be a foundational piece this week.
Ramondre was going to be my start of the week, but I thought there's just no one out there that could possibly not be starting Ramondre. If he's on your bench, you're making a mistake.
Now, Jacoby Myers plans to play in this game, and he would be the choice at wide receiver.
Yes.
For some reason he missed, would you take a shot on a Devontae Parker in a spot start?
I would. I think that if Jacoby Myers is out, Devontae Parker becomes very necessary for the offense, and you would expect that this is going to be a higher scoring game.
Hunter Henry, chasing last week.
Hunter Henry is not the guy. We talked about him on the waiver wire pickup show. I think he was third in my list of tight end waiver wire pickups. I had Evan Ingram ahead of him. It's not a great matchup for him.
No, it's pretty bad, actually. That's the one area they haven't gotten worse. The Bills, number three in the last 6 weeks against tight ends.
Yeah, it feels a little bit like chasing
a little trappy
last week. Yeah, little trappy. You know, the week prior, one target, one reception. So.
Yeah. Yeah, and Jonnu Smith's been involved a little bit. He's not like he's the only tight end that could get targets. So.
You know, one thing I want to bring up before we
leave
this matchup.
What would you like to bring up?
We've talked, you know, about Green Bay, they drafted Christian Watson ahead of George Pickens, and what a mistake, and yada, yada. You realize that Tyquan Thornton was also, he was drafted ahead of George Pickens. That's, whoops.
Is it? I mean, do we know enough yet?
Well, I think Tyquan Thornton's a good player. I don't think we know enough about Tyquan to say that he's a mistake or a bad pick in general, but I think we know enough from what we've seen from George Pickens to know that there was a mistake in not drafting him.
Yeah, that could be true. It feels a little bit like Thornton might have drawn the short straw in terms of opportunity in year one with, you know, two quarterbacks, Parker and Myers, and two tight ends, and, you know, Pickens is he's the one.
Yeah.
So, yeah. No, I tend to agree, but look at their Pickens is Devontae Parker in terms of a competitive catch player. Thornton, maybe we get to see that Christian Watson-style speed on display more often in the back half of the year. Check out all the rankings on the website if you want to see some start-sit decisions with the Thursday night game, thefantasyfootballers.com. Quick break, back with some mailbag. Hey, Foot Clan, this episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Take a minute to check your social battery. How is it doing? Does the thought of social events make you feel excited or exhausted? Maybe sometimes those events make you feel drained. Maybe they make you feel like you're bursting with energy like Papa Josh. But you might not know why it's at that level. Maybe it's not enough boundaries set up and you're just doing too much. Maybe you get less social in different times of the year or you're working too much. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin. Look, we live in the era of hurry, hurry, hurry. And social gatherings, they pick up and then you are burnt out. So you got to figure it out. And therapy can help you figure out that self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery so you can enjoy it. And when you are feeling worn out from socializing, therapy can help give you the tools you need to recharge and take care of yourself. I highly recommend that. All you have to do is give BetterHelp a try. Fill out a brief questionnaire. Get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch them at a moment's notice. There's no extra charge for switching therapists if you didn't find the right one. And you can find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/footballers today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp. HELP.com/footballers.
Going for your first ever run around the park. Literally running errands all over town. Running for the finish line and your personal best. If you run, you're a runner. Find the shoes and clothes to run your way at newbalance.com/running. New Balance. Run your way.
Yeah, after this year, Nelson Aguilar and then Bourne will be gone too.
Yeah.
So hopefully he has an opportunity there. We'll see. It's hard for me to ever have like wide receiver confidence in New England.
Yeah, if Tyquan Thornton went to the Chiefs, he was probably a good player.
Fair enough. We need a mailbag drop.
Oh, who's it gonna be?
Are you staring down the very nervous, sweaty Deucer's Alley?
I've got this. Let's go to the Deucer's Cam here.
Okay.
We have a very important rule around the studio.
Yeah, wait, the Deucer's Cam, thank you.
And this is kind of how we operate on a lot of things. So I will just say, nose goes. Well, Al Borland.
Mailbag.
Mailbag.
Yes. Gristly.
Yes.
Very nice. Thank you.
Oh, how upset were you when you got to the nose last?
Pretty upset that I didn't even know what you were talking about.
Yeah. No, that'll...
I was more disappointed in not understanding what was going on.
Mm. You won't forget now.
Yeah.
You did well.
Nose goes.
I thought that was pretty good for...
Thanks.
Yeah.
I do edit with Grizz, but I think I overpowered him.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it was not the worst thing we've ever heard.
That is 100% true.
All right. If you have a question for the show, you can go to the website, thefantasyfootballers.com, click the submit a question button, or dial our voicemail hotline at 302-464-TFFB. Let's jump in with a voicemail.
Hey, Ballers. This is Jake from Seattle. I have a QB question. I don't know if I should play Kirk Cousins against the Jets or the QB on the other side, Mike White, against the Vikings. Thanks so much.
Well, I think it's a really good question because I did glance at Kirk Cousins at the start of the week this week.
Yeah.
The Jets, they're a good defense, but Kirk Cousins with, you know, Adam Thielen and Justin Jefferson and Dalvin Cook in a game that I think has the potential to be a higher scoring affair. The over-under is 45. Minnesota, they are 3-point favorites. It plays well at home. You know, I honestly, I feel like the answer should be Kirk Cousins.
So it's very difficult to take someone that you know is a very good quarterback for a long time, like Kirk Cousins, who's playing for a good team with great weapons, and bench him for a guy who has, what, 4 starts in his career? You haven't really seen him, and last week he had a pretty good matchup. But I think the answer here is actually Mike White. Because you look at the Jets' defense on the season, schedule adjusted, they are the 3rd most difficult matchup for quarterbacks. Their defense has just been absolutely rolling. And I think the weapons that Mike White has with Garrett Wilson and Elijah Moore, Corey Davis, even Tyler Conklin, like it's, I think that he's going to do more than Kirk does.
I just want to remind people Mike White burst onto the scene last year with a 3-touchdown, 405-yard game and then came back. I guess he got hurt, but then in his next full game, he was 27th at the position. That's the risk you run with that.
Yes.
You know, it's like it was almost like you last week rolling the dice with Taylor Heinicke over a more known commodity in DFS where you liked the situation, you liked the matchup, but, you know, you didn't have the assurances that you would have with – starting a Herbert or a Lamar.
Yeah, the floor is certainly lowest, I believe, on...
It's lava.
The floor is lava with Mike White, and you want to avoid that floor, so I completely understand. And it's not like his ceiling is that much higher than Kirk Cousins.
They might have
the same ceiling. So by that, if you just go, well, one's got a lower floor, they got the same ceiling, go with the other guy. But I think probable outcome is a little bit higher with Mike White.
Kirk Cousins on the season is the quarterback 13. He showed you that Dallas game was really, really not. They shouldn't have counted that in his game log.
Yeah.
But quarterback 7, 11, 16, and 9 the other 4 weeks. Should be a fun game. I hope we see what we want to see in that one.
I think we will because you have two teams playing for everything. They're great teams who are trying to maintain their position. I mean, the Jets are – really want to make the playoffs. They should and could make the playoffs. And here you have Minnesota. What are they, like a half game or maybe one game out of the number one seed in the bye week? So this is very important.
All right. We have had a lot of questions come in on Instagram and elsewhere on Mr. Mike Evans.
Ah!
Now, Mike Evans, The question here, do I sit him? He's been poopy lately, plus a bad history against the Saints. Mike Evans, 9 targets last week, just 2 catches. Mike Evans hasn't scored a touchdown since week 4, which is kind of his thing, right? Like,
not scoring touchdowns, yeah.
No, scoring them, Jason.
Not anymore. Not since I traded for him.
Last year he was, I did it in Dynasty, so we're riding together on this. 14 touchdowns last year, 13 the year before. Marshawn Lattimore could be back, which has been the problem.
That's the question. The whole history of Mike Evans against the Saints, it's not Mike Evans against the Saints. It's Mike Evans against Marshawn Lattimore. That's Marshawn Lattimore just beats him. Flat out beats Mike Evans. He's Mike Evans' kryptonite.
If I knew that he was going to miss, I would be willing to stone cold lock a touchdown guarantee this week for Mike Evans.
Okay, so that's an if then, if this then,
yeah,
touchdown. Okay,
but so if Lattimore is out, I think Evans is a lock this week to score. He is very, very overdue. If you're looking at Mike Evans versus Zay Jones, I don't think I'm willing to. I think I'm going low. Mike Evans. Yeah,
yeah.
Mike Evans or George Pickens. I think I'm still going Mike Evans.
That one's. I mean, closer, but it's really hard to bench Mike Evans. Mike Evans historically has been an up and down player. It sucks when it comes 3 weeks in a row. When you have 3 bad games in a row, you feel like this is the new normal. But Mike Evans has been getting open down the sideline, just like he always has. Tom Brady's been overthrowing him. I mean, there were 4 deep, awesome targets that would have changed Mike Evans' fantasy game last week, and he was just a little off on each one of them. So maybe that is the new normal, and Tom Brady's lost it, and he's overcompensating. But I don't think Mike Evans has lost anything, and it's not like you're benching Chris Godwin because of Tom Brady. So I think you have to just keep rolling with Mike Evans to get the good game.
How many games inside the top, let's go 13 this year?
For Mike Evans?
Yeah.
It's got to be 2 or 3.
1.
Wow. Yuck.
He had that big drop that would have changed one of his weeks. I just, like, if he doesn't score, he's got 3 touchdowns on the year, and he's only scored in 2 of the games. And this is a 14-touchdown, 13-touchdown player. You take the touchdowns away from Mike Evans, you don't have Chris Godwin. Like, Godwin can exist in a PPR universe independent of touchdowns and make you very, very happy.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go ahead and go to Twitter. What are some defenses we should consider stashing for playoffs if we have already made it?
Yeah. Yeah. I love this question because this is where I've now shifted my focus. I'm sorry, Andy. You're upset. Our matchup this last week did great things for me and terrible things for you. I don't have the bye week locked up, but like I should. Yeah, have the bye week locked up. Like
the podcasters couldn't see my facial expression, but take that sound and apply whatever facial expression you want.
Yeah. So I can tell you that
if I have to listen to you equivocate on things that are guaranteed anymore this year, I'm going to jettison you into outer space.
Okay. So Andy says I'm
just
guaranteed for the bye.
Act like a man and walk forward with your chest out.
Oh, my chest
into
is
the
out.
Playoffs. I'm gonna get the bye week. My team's really good. I'm probably going to win the championship.
Ooh, I love to hear it. Well, just keep it going.
This is your.
This is you building me up. I love it. Thank you, Andy.
You're supposed to say this
you
like
you heard
a,
it, Foot Clay,
like
and he thinks
man.
I'm going to win the championship and get the bye week. But because I have the bye week, I know week 16.
I hope you lose.
Oh, well, of course you do. So, have you seen my team, though? In week 16, I have a waiver claim right now on the Titans. I am picking them up already. I've got the Eagles as my normal defense. They've got a great week 17 matchup for the championship, and week 15 is irrelevant to me with the bye week. Otherwise, who are you picking up?
I mean, the Chiefs have Denver in the final week of the year. It's delicious. They have Houston the week before or 2 weeks before. Their defense, it puts a lot of pressure on the quarterback, and so Davis Mills or Kyle Allen and Russell Wilson, I'm targeting people playing Denver, New Orleans, Houston, and the Rams. Those are the targets for me. I don't want to ride the medium to good defense against I don't want to be surprised with a potential, like last week is a good example where Like Seattle, they've been pretty good. They're at home and they're playing the Raiders. But the Raiders have like they have explosiveness. They have good players. They have Josh Jacobs and Davante Adams. That's enough in a game to surprise. They ended up being 0 points. It wasn't the right decision. Like in the playoffs, my personality is
100%
is I'm going to play the medium to good defense against a great matchup, not the great defense against a bad matchup.
100%. You just named it exactly right. Houston, Denver, the Rams. Those are the three I'm going after. You mentioned a fourth. I don't remember who it was.
New Orleans.
Oh, really? You think they're?
I mean, they're terrible.
Bottom of the barrel.
Yeah, they're terrible.
So those three or four matchups are who you're targeting, and focus on week 15 first. I mean, that sounds obvious, but you got to take it 1 week at a time. You don't get to week 16 unless you win week 15. Unless you got the bye week.
That's a super important thing. Like, if you have to choose between sacrificing something for week 16 and 17. Do it. Sacrifice it. Go get the win.
Yeah.
Figure it out later. On the year, oh, the Colts. Did we mention the Colts?
As a team to target?
Oh, as a team to play your defense against.
That's
their offense is awful. And then the Bears without Fields would be another one. The whole year, it's Rams, Colts, Texans as best matchups. The last 8 weeks, it's Texans, Colts, Rams. Same three teams.
Yeah.
And then the Broncos. So... Detroit on the road, another one to pay attention to. A little more risky, though.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go ahead and turn to a question from Andrew Batchelor.
Okay. He's having a party.
Rank them rest of season, Deontay, Treylon Burks, Zay Jones. I would flip that order.
Zay Jones, Treylon Burks, Deontay Johnson.
That's correct.
I am 100% fine with that.
Looking at Joseph's question here, are you still starting Tony Pollard over Zeke if you have both? I don't know if I am. It's difficult.
It is difficult, but I am starting Pollard over
Zeke. Yeah.
Probably the rest of the season. This last week.
He's had two weeks in a row that he's been pretty good.
Who?
Zeke.
Oh, I think you could start both. And obviously Pollard wasn't that good this last week. Was the running back 39 down week. But he had 18 rushing attempts with Zeke active. So, like, that's enough for me. Like, you're
Pollard had 18 rushing attempts?
Yeah.
And why don't I believe you?
I know. I don't believe
that's
myself.
That's two more than Zeke?
I don't believe myself. Someone vet me, but
No, you're right. You're right. It's 18 for 60. Zeke had a really good game by way of, man, the fact that you can start both of these guys with confidence, that's the headline.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Zeke, his last four games started are top 13.
I mean, you're going to, we talked about Zeke on the goal line. We all predicted a touchdown last week for Zeke. It came true.
Do you have a Super Bowl pick right now? Who do you think's going to win it?
I still have the Bills winning it. Okay. I'm hoping that their defense gets healthier. I'll have to pivot come playoff time, but I still have the Bills winning it because they have done what I think a lot of teams have to do in order to win a championship, which is stair step ladder to, take a step up, get a little further in the playoffs, have a bad beat, get a little further in the playoffs, and then finally take home the ring. Is this you saying you think the Cowboys are going to win it?
For some reason, they're my favorite right now.
I've been saying
it for a few weeks, but I think that they have what it takes in the playoffs. And maybe it's Philly.
Yeah, the
maybe
NFC,
it's San Francisco. I mean, those are the three.
Those are the three teams. Sorry, Minnesota.
Yeah.
Those three teams are the best teams in the NFC to win the championship.
All right. CJ wants to know, who do you trust more this week, Godwin or Ja'Marr Chase? I trust
Godwin
a lot more.
I love Godwin. I think he's.
Did you look at Chase in DFS?
Ja'Marr Chase, I didn't. I can't do that.
I can't either. I just barely glanced at his name and moved on.
If this was a GPP, some big tournament, then sure, because maybe people will be scared of him and his upside. But we're playing a cash game where we just got to beat two people. I'm not taking the injury risk with Ja'Marr Chase.
Speaking of which, I don't know if the whole producer team even knows this.
Oh, yeah.
But with Mike out the rest of the week, we've got Kyle stepping forward.
Now, he is the resident DFS expert, host of the Fantasy Footballers DFS pod. So we expect you to come in and win, Kyle the Borgogan. What do you have to say about that?
I will give you no intel the entire week. You get nothing.
Good. I don't need his your first stupid question, words.
His first question was, do I have to submit a lineup when you guys do?
Yeah. He's like, because of course, listen, Foot Clan, we come up with these lineups on Friday. We would all change these lineups Sunday morning. You should be submitting your lineups if you're playing DraftKings Sunday morning, taking advantage of the latest breaking news, the weather that was unexpected, or the injuries that happened, and getting those cheap guys in. We can't do that because we lock it in on Friday. Kyle's wanting us to lock ours in and him to submit one late Sunday morning.
I'm going to do everything I can to bring our first Deucer's Alley of Shame spin.
Yes.
So
come on, Andy. You and I are in it together this week.
Yeah, let's do it.
I'm so confident in Kyle that I'll spin with him if he loses.
Okay.
Well, Brooks, guess who's doing the mailbag drop tomorrow if we have one?
I will not.
Oh man, I thought we could get the whole.
No, he knows. He knows that this is.
Knows
our proclivity.
So now Al and Kyle the Borgogian will go down together.
I love you,
because I don't know if you knew this,
right,
Jason. I actually have the perfect lineup this week.
Oh, so you so we have the same
we
one.
We probably have the same one.
Wow.
Because is yours perfect?
Mine was perfect when I looked at it.
Okay.
Which was really good news, because at first I made a lineup. I was like, this isn't perfect. Then I made some changes.
Yeah, me too.
And then I was like,
couple tweaks.
This is perfect.
Yeah. All right. Is Kadarius Toney droppable? This is an Instagram question from D. Periera.
Nailed it. I did drop Toney, but I didn't drop him now. I dropped him last week to make room. When you've had this many hamstring problems and it's another hamstring issue, reaggravation, seems like you're going to need multiple weeks and more time. Andy Reid has said he's day to day and that they will be cautious. It seems like I think the right move is to drop him in redraft and move on and do what you need to do. Pick up a defense to win a championship.
His path was,
oh, it was
predicated on no Juju, no Hardman.
It was perfect.
Banged up MVS. And that would have been the time for him to kind of like carve out a permanent role in this offense. Right now it is, I mean, it's no different than starting. Like when he comes back, flip a coin, him or Sky Moore? That's the problem.
Well, and him and Sky Moore will be splitting. When Kadarius Toney comes back, they are not going to throw him in any kind of snap count situation with his hamstrings that you can start in fantasy football. So that means maybe he's not back this week. Okay, well then maybe he comes back active the following week, but you cannot play him, and he's not going to do enough in that game to prove that you could play him the following week. So now we're talking 3 weeks, at least a month before you can actually have the confidence to start him in your lineup. So yeah, I think you should drop him. I still absolutely love his upside, love what he could do with this offense. I think he's a great dynasty asset. Now might be a better time to kick the tires on a trade for him because it's not looking as great with his hamstring injury. But no, in redraft, I'm moving on.
We did get one more update that I don't know if it was really in question for your fantasy rosters, but Kyle Pitts is officially out for the year, according to Arthur Smith. We can all be hoping and praying for a better, brighter future physically/fantasy for Kyle Pitts. A couple reminders before the end of the show. Christmas parties are coming.
Oh, yeah.
We rarely mention it, but I do. You know, you're looking at gifts. You're looking at things to check out. We've got shirts at shopballers.com, including the draft day as my Christmas shirt.
Ooh, that's classic.
Which is a delight. You want to represent some fantasy football fandom at your Christmas party.
Dinner butter shirt, because, you know, we got Christmas dinners and
Muth is Luth, Pity City. We've got the mug that you can sip your hot chocolate in.
No, the one I'm using right now.
So shopballers.com if you want to check that out. Well, that's a good sound. That's a real good sound. So all of the shirts and everything over there. You guys wearing any of our shirts today? No.
Gift cards, too, if you want to get one for somebody you love.
That's fair. Thank you, Al. You really stifled my trajectory towards an insult for you.
Wait, I see your hand over the button, but I want to ask you this final question that I see from Instagram from Zach Zander, because I love the question. Garrett Wilson or Christian Watson? Rest of season.
Garrett Wilson.
Okay.
Same upside, touchdown-wise, I think.
Maybe.
Better baseline PPR.
Okay. Yeah.
Both explosive.
Yeah.
I mean, Garrett Wilson was the higher draft capital guy, right?
He was.
Quarterback situation. I lean Wilson.
Okay. There you go.
Both good.
That'll do it.
Both good. Very fun. Very fun to have the rookies starting to emerge and trying to figure out which ones you need to, like, a handful of these guys have been on my team and then off of my team, and that's the worst. Like,
yeah.
Treylon Burks in the beginning of the year, Christian Watson in the beginning of the year. I had those guys on there. You didn't have bench room to kind of hold them if you were fighting for wins.
Yep. Yeah. And if you're winning, you just pick up Christian Watson and have him on your team, head into the bye week, you know?
Yeah, no big deal.
No big deal.
All right, that is it for the Fantasy Footballers podcast. Back tomorrow, football time. Don't miss it.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter @TheFFBallers.